Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Blog Talk Radio. It's good to have you here with us tonight. Good evening to YouTube. It's good to have you with us tonight. All of our favorite Zoomers are on Zoom with us tonight. We love you guys. All of our friends and family members around the world, wherever you may be, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank God for you. And, every year when we start the year, we start the year by talking about fasting and faith and God's plan for the year. And we study the book of Revelation. We always go to Dr. Barclay's Holy Spirit Conference in San Diego right here. And then we have Faith Refresher with Dr. Winston. And that's our first couple of months. Here on the Community of Faith. It's something that we do every year. And so welcome, welcome, welcome. Tonight we're going to hear the first message, which would have been Tuesday night, of the Holy Spirit Conference in San Diego, California. If you're out there, I would encourage, actually it's Escondido, get there to Life Church with Pastor Stephen Johnson. Powerful church, great conference, and you nothing you would enjoy more than being right there live in the conference. And they would definitely welcome you there and be a part. Make sure you show up 45 minutes early so you can be a part of prayer, because they have a half an hour pre-service prayer. So anyways, welcome to all of you around the world. Let's pray, and then we're going to kick the pastor off because he's going to be determined to preach a long time. Actually, this is an amazing message about being a carrier of the presence of God. So we encourage you to receive tonight. Let's lift our hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive from the Holy Spirit of God tonight. We declare, flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive this word. We receive the anointing on this word and plant it as a seed in the good soil of our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Here we go. Dr. Barclay, where did he go? Everybody pause for just a second here. Oh my, I said I was ready, and look at me. I am ready.
That's 90%.
There we go.
Connected to Samuel Toddle at iPhone.
No.
And Samuel's mask, let's go.
No.
Samuel Toddle at iPhone. Just connected.
All right. There we go. Now we're ready. Isn't that just something? The worship is just finished. I can't play the worship because that violates copyright laws, but all right, well, you are going to function properly, and it is going to happen exactly like we wanted. So here we go. Holy Spirit Conference, Tuesday night, San Diego, California. Make sure you take good notes and open up your hearts and minds. All Amen. Yes. All of us. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. Yep. I try not.
That's what I want. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Been able to follow God because of it. And that's intelligent sometimes. I don't know how to write it. Sometimes like meeting.
Brazil.
In the name of Jesus. Faith in full. Release your faith right now. Jesus' mighty name. All right. All right. Powerful, powerful word. Powerful word. There we go. Hold on. I got to get this guy to settle down over here. He seems to need to talk right now. Not sure why he had to talk. There we go. There we go. All right. So I really wanted to share that with you because number one, he's my pastor, my ordaining elder. And thank God that we're connected to this level of a powerful man of God that's been down the road. Aren't you glad that we're connected with somebody that's been down the road? You know, a lot of people can preach, but do they have the anointing of God on their life? And have they ever been there and done that in any context, in a manner anointed by God that gives you right or reason to lead and be led? Amazing.
Can't see you.
Thank you, Rebecca. It's probably what that red message is right there. Amen. Yep, now when you see me, you're going to see me eating my peanut butter cup. Well, I got it started before he was done, so how many of you were eating while Pastor was flowing in the Holy Spirit? How many of you were eating? It signified by raising your right hand. Thank God for these stories, for the practical application that we can make in our own life. I think the most powerful part of that service, manifold presence of God that you can experience by just being open to God. Got to get another drink of coffee to wash down that chocolate and peanut butter. And you heard Dr. Barclay say it earlier. A cappuccino helps you worship God better. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Actually, sweetheart, the cappuccino is the caffeine is a medicine. It's instead of taking fluid pills that can damage you and they really make you sick and kill you, you take a little bit of caffeine and it works safely. It's a natural diuretic. It's just when people go overboard and drink 6 cups of coffee plus other caffeine during the day, and you know, because they're determined to stay awake, and so they do what's ridiculous and stupid. It's wrong. But whenever you obey God and take some natural diuretics to stay healthy, just obey God.
Just obey God.
Don't do crazy, stupid things. Obey God. And yes, cappuccino is another word for coffee. Yes?
Amen.
I mean, amen. I know some people that drink a whole carton of, like, a 2-liter of Mountain Dew, which has even more caffeine than cappuccino, okay? And they're being ridiculous. They ought to drink some water and just, you know, be reasonable with the caffeine. All drugs are poison. It's just a matter of make sure you don't take more than you need to be healthy.
That's right.
Okay.
No.
Okay. That's enough preaching for me. But anyway, I've straightened that out.
You know, I remember one time Brother Hagin said, that the Holy Spirit said, you need to lay off coffee for a week. And he said, I thought, well, that's an interesting thing to say. And I forget what he said happened. But so he just obeyed the Holy Spirit, because that's the wisest thing to do. And then he said the Holy Spirit, about a week later, 2 weeks, whatever it was, said, you can drink a cup of coffee now for breakfast. Now listen, like Dr. Barclay said, God doesn't make weirdos, so don't become a weirdo with what I'm saying. What God was saying to Dr. Hagin, this is what you need to do for your health. And then he asked him about later, he's like, no, he said, and you can drink one cup for breakfast. He said, because you're going to have to moderate this, and you're going to have to do this. And I forget what the whole, God gave him a physical answer, just like Phyllis just said, gave him a physical answer about telling him to drink one cup for breakfast. Now, to most of us, if he said to drink one cup for breakfast, we would be on a fast. On a forced fast, because most of us might like to drink one pot for breakfast, and maybe not you, but I know that there are a few people that I know in my life, they may be here or they may not, that would actually drink a whole pot for breakfast. Not saying anybody's name, not even Sister Leanne's. Just testing to see if she would come on and defend herself.
Depending on how big the pot is, I'm guilty also.
Yeah. Well,
and, I have one.
And
one
just so you know, point. Sister Leanne has never sat down and drank a whole pot of coffee. I was just seeing if she was listening and she was going to come out and say something to me. Because I couldn't see anybody's names. But, well, you know, I think...
There she is. For a minute.
When the mic came on mute, I just shut up. I want everybody to know I was real quiet. You need a certain amount of water in your body every day, so You can drink it with just plain water, or you can drink it with coffee. Amen. Some people.
Amen.
This is real deep and philosophical where we are tonight after such an amazing, powerful message. But I thought it was so perfect. And if you've never been to Dr. Barclay's in the back room where the preachers are, you don't know. Whoever that lady is that makes the cappuccinos back there, this lady is a master. She's a barista to the nth degree. But what a powerful statement that his thoughts were on. That's cool. I'm getting ready to go in. I'm going to have me a cappuccino. Everybody's coming in. And Dr. Barclay always has communion with the ministers that are there in that service and prays over the service, prays over the worship team, prays over everybody that's there. Always, every service he does. And yet, what an amazing example of this man who was responsible for so many churches, probably thousands of churches around the world, sitting in the car saying, Lord, I'm getting ready to go in this building now where you are. And I expect to meet you. And I know your presence will be there, even to the degree of how do I look. And, you know, the statement from Pastor about going to see the big, the high-ranking official in the government and giving him 10 pages of how to act while you're with him. Now, you can look at that and say, well, that's not right. But what you realize is every level of that you go up, it solidifies another level of the authority and the ability of that person that you're with to function at a higher level of authority, because all of these lower levels are dealt with in a way that when this person walks in the room, it is you're walking in to great authority, in great authority. And just like the Roman centurion said to Jesus, when he looked at Jesus and said, my servant is at home and he's sick, would you pray for him? And Jesus said, well, I'll come to your house. Evidently, that centurion had been very nice to Jesus in his ministry, because, of course, Jesus had a Roman centurion assigned to him every time he went out in public, because such large crowds would gather. And, of course, being in the military, a centurion is a military position. They would have to be there to watch and make sure things didn't get out of order. And evidently, that man had been very nice to Jesus, because Jesus said, I'll go to your house. And he said, no, I'm not worthy that you would come to my house, but I'm a man under authority. And if you will just speak the word, I understand authority to the degree that if you'll just speak a word, my servant will be whole at home. And Jesus said, I've not seen this kind of faith in all of Israel. And the servant was healed. At that very moment, that servant was healed. Why? Because the man understood authority and didn't get his socks tied in the knot, because authority was required of him. And there's so much to learn in this message of how you and I should act. You know, and I really, as I began to listen to this last night after the program, I'm thinking, wow, this is so appropriate for you and me here. Because how many times do we just show up here and, well, it's 7 o'clock, 15 and 20 minutes, you know, I'll get there sooner or later, Jesus. And we come in with a nonchalant attitude rather than a heart that we have prepped, saying, Jesus, help me receive tonight from you and from this word that will be spoken. And it's not a place. These words I'm speaking are not words of me dominating you. You can come in as sloppy and as disrespectful as you want, but you won't be allowed to speak, and you won't be allowed to have liberty, because we will respect the presence of God here. And it's a powerful understanding. I know when I was working with the Patriot Guard, And I began to go to, and be in the presence of many great generals. And I was, I was in quite a few situations with quite a few different generals. And I remember the day that I was tested. And I didn't know it was a test. And I don't think the general knew he was giving me a test. He was just functioning like he needed to function, and I was functioning like I needed to function. But we had a funeral at this church. It was a nice little Baptist church, about three rows of pews wide, and had a nice foyer and a nice big opening area in the outside the door. And when we set up our flag line that day, this is a bunch of bikers. When we set up our flag line that day, we'd been at it long enough to realize that if we gave honor its proper place, that everybody who walked in the building, by time they got to the building, they would have been raised another level of honor by our presence and our actions. And there was just this holy, he was a mighty warrior, one of our Marines from Michigan, and yet he was a man of God, a true man of God, young man, but he was a man of God in prayer. And so right before you entered the door, there was this place where as soon as you stepped into that area, you could feel honor and you could feel respect. You really... who I am, knowing you could feel the glory of God. And people would walk up to it, and then they would stop, and they would be like, wow, there's a presence here. And it was a long flag line. We probably stood there for an hour, hour and a half. And just before the service began, like Pastor just said, the general came last because he was not going to be there to have to shake everybody's hand and do all that. His position was a very specific position. And I was the state captain, and I was in charge in that specific mission. So I was standing by the door. And we had talked with the pastor. We had talked with the funeral home. And we had talked with the police about where to park our bikes and how they wanted us to be. And the general stepped up to the door when he got out of his car, and he looked at me and he said, young man, I want those motorcycles down there behind that cop car. Well, you could stand and argue with the general, or you could say, sir, yes, sir, we'll make it happen. And he said, thank you, went in the building, and immediately started the service. In a building where there's no air conditioning in the summer, and the bikes that we're to move are Harleys. This is almost impossible. And so they just said, what do we do? I'm like, well, we got to move them. He told us to move them, and that's where they're going to be. And the police officer said, just do what the general says, because he's the highest ranking officer here. So they took their bikes and just idled them all the way around the building. But of course, there's Harleys, so they're still going to make a lot of noise. As soon as the service was finished, he came out, and I was standing there. And he said, you move the motorcycles. I don't ever want you to start another motorcycle in the middle of a funeral service ever again. Do you not understand you interrupted everything? I said, yes, sir, thank you. We'll make that happen. And he said, thank you, young man, and walked away. What are you going to do? He told us to move them. We moved them. What we should have done is just pushed them with several guys without any starting the engine. And, we learned a great lesson that day. The whole purpose of me telling this story is because I gave that man nothing but just respect and obedience. It opened the door for me to get anything from that general I ever needed. I respected who he was, I knew I didn't need to say a word in response except, yes, sir, we'll make it happen. And it opened a door for me when we needed something from the military to call his office and say, we need this, sir. And he would make it happen every time for us. Why? Because we functioned at the level of authority where he's at. And I learned a great lesson. When you're the higher up the echelon of authority you go, fewer words you say, the greater respect you give, and the more you just say, yes, sir, and go do it, whether you know how or not. Why? Because it's respecting that position, that authority that's on those people's lives. And isn't it something that if you and I would respect our Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit's presence in a greater form than we would ever respect a man, that he, God Almighty, would manifest himself in a manner every time we're together that would be powerful. It would be delivering. We would bring deliverance. We would see the mighty works that Jesus promised us that we would see. Our lives would be marked with his presence, not just religious observance, not just time and grade. I've been around the kingdom all these years, so sit down, shut up, and listen to me. No, it would be, our lives would be marked by his presence, and we would know. It's the statement that I've been teaching by the leadership of the Holy Spirit for the last year, very strong, and that is, I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say. And now we judge every word, not by the people that's standing around us. We judge every word we say, every action we have, we judge it by, wait, did I get this word from my Father? Did, is what I'm getting ready to say actually come from heaven, or is it something that I'm just going to spout off? And now you might say, well, Pastor, who are you saying this? I ain't saying this. Well, I'm saying it to every one of us. I have endeavored now for a solid year to learn this process of only doing and saying what I see the Father say. And I'm going to give you something, guys. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to keep your mouth shut until you are confident it is exactly what the Father just said.
Amen.
Now, you don't, if you think what I'm saying is bondage, there's no bondage here. I'm not forcing you into anything. Jesus said to the scribes, the Pharisees, and the knuckleheaded religious folks, I only say what I hear my Father say. I can do nothing. Jesus the Christ actually said, I can do nothing of myself. His words, he said himself, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I only do what I see my Father do. And I only say what I hear my Father say. And I encourage you, begin to live that way. Seriously. Begin to live that way. And begin to check yourself. And just say, wait a minute. Listen to this statement. Why did I just make that statement? Did that accomplish? And then ask the question, Father, was I supposed to say that? Now, God's not wanting us to turn into a bunch of prudes that just sit around and look at each other and nobody say anything. That's not the purpose of what we're doing. purposes. Tune in our ears, our spiritual understanding, to tune into the voice of the Father. And you know what will happen in that? You and I will begin the Father everywhere we go, and we will become a carrier of his presence. And it won't matter if you drink one pot of coffee or 10, because it won't be about any of this human stuff. And it'll be about, I'm a carrier of the presence of Almighty God. And now you and I will then be protecting his presence. And here's another word for you. Yeah. Anybody seen Brother John Sunday? Guys, you're welcome Sunday. It's good to see you over there. Sister Leanne, I just now looked at YouTube for the first time here in a while. Brother John, we love you, man. Miss you. We don't see you. The reason I'm saying this to us, this isn't bondage. You can live as, I like how Pastor says it, you can live as sloppy as you want. But there is a day of reckoning coming when we will stand before Jesus and give an account of our life. And on that day, we will look back at these days and say, why didn't I pay attention? Here's what's cool. There ain't a one of us that can sit here tonight and say, well, you ain't talking about me. Oh, no. It's every one of us. It's including me. And crazy 90-second lady, make you jump right out of yourself. I know Dr. Markley. He has the presence of God on his life stronger than most people I know. I don't even know if I know somebody that's got more presence of God than Pastor. Where you actually feel God's presence on them. And yet, Jesus told us in the parable of the sower that the cares of this world, which is the greatest force that wants to come against us, the deceitfulness of riches, but most of us here have beat the deceitfulness of riches, but have never beat the downfalls and the dangers of poverty. Yeah. And then the desire for other things. What does it do? It chokes the word. And so, thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us what to say, how to say it, when to say it, where to say it. And we're learning. And I want you to know, if every one of you that is here and you've been here since the beginning, I mean, we have grown in so many different ways since we first got together. My goodness sakes alive. And we all still love one another, respect one another, and walk with God. A greater dimension than we ever have before. But what's God wanting us to do? God wants us to go to a whole new level. Yes, Mary, we can talk after it's not live. Yes, we can. Now, God wants us to go to a new level. When he told the children of Israel, go across Jordan and go in, they not only had to now go from a traveling band, 6 million strong band of slave turned warriors, but when they crossed the Jordan, the manna stopped. And they had to eat at a different level to conquer at a different level. Think about the thought. The manna ceased, and they began to eat the fruit of the land that year. They had to eat at a new level to go to a new level. And that's where you and I are today. We must eat from the Word of God at a new level. And thank you, Father, that you're taking us up there in Jesus' mighty name. Well, here we go. Let's receive. Wait, let's pray first. Father, thank you for this wonderful word from Dr. Barclay. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I thank you, Father, that you are doing such an amazing, marvelous, mighty work in our lives. that we are being transformed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Thank you. Thank you. It's all by your presence. We give you glory, you honor, and we give you the praise for what you're doing in our lives every day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28 and verse 31. These are the verses about communion that Jesus gave to the Apostle Paul in the wilderness. Jesus actually met with Paul himself in the wilderness and began to disciple him and help him get past the religious indoctrination that he was so steeped in. And it took Paul 14 years to win that battle. You and I, it doesn't have to take us 14 years. But if it's taken you 14 years, know that that's how long it took the Apostle Paul. Because he was in the wilderness being trained by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, for 14 years. Now, we're going to read the verses of communion. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. And then we'll give you a couple minutes of instruction. We'll bless the elements and receive them. Every part of this communion service is backed up by chapter and verse of why we do it, right out of the Word of God. And follow along. Not only will you understand communion, you'll understand the power of the broken body and the power of Jesus' blood shed in your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it. And he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes. Let a man, verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Isn't it something that God gives you and I the responsibility to judge ourselves? 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Love, God's perfect love, has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Isn't that something? I just remembered. I just had a whole dream come back to me in living color that I had the other night. Everybody pause for just a moment. Because I woke up saying, what was that dream? Wow, isn't that something how that just came back like that? Huh. you might say, Pastor, you stopped right in the middle. Well, when you ask God to bring a dream to you and bring an understanding of what you received while you slept, and he brings it to you, it's like John said in Revelation, this is the thoughts of he who has wisdom. Stop and write it down. Isn't that something? Oh, my goodness. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. That's a holy dream. Wow. We'll tell you about that in a minute. Oh, Jesus, that's awesome. Now, who knows where I was? Oh, verse 17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness. When? In the day of judgment and every minute of the day. We would be bold. Why? Because as he, Jesus, is, so are we right here, right now in this world. Perfect love. Cast out fear. And the torment that goes with it. Why? Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I bind the fear and the trauma that's happened in your life. In Jesus' name. Whether you feel anything right now or not, doesn't matter. As a minister, I'm told to bind it. I just did. God's word doesn't return void. Therefore, it's bound in your life, and you can thoroughly expect it to never have that same effect on you again. Now, must be getting windy outside. We're going to pray the prayer of salvation. In order to be a part of the body of Christ and receive his broken body and his bloodshed, you need to be a part of the body. And that means you must be born again. Pray the prayer of salvation, be born again. It's got a lot of terminology different people use. Say the prayer. You know, there's a lot of things people say. But what it means is you and I accept Jesus in. And our life transforms forever. So wherever you are, whoever you are, pray this prayer out loud with me and mean it from the depths of your heart to the best of your ability. Ready? Here we go. I need my Zoomers to help me. Watching that mic. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Woo! I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I've
sinned and gone my own way. So I say, please forgive me of my sin. Wash me with your blood.
Wash me with your blood.
Make me white as snow.
Make me white as snow.
As only your blood will do. Jesus, I receive you into my life. All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your
righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Flowing from your beautiful nature. Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
So
I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language. And live a successful life as a believer every day. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. Now, for those of you that just prayed that prayer for the first time, or maybe for the 50th time, but tonight it seemed to stick. The difference is how you are determined in your heart. I'm making a change in my life, and I'm going to a new level with you, God my Father. There's some people that are with us tonight that have prayed that prayer literally 1,000 times. If you think about it, if you prayed that prayer with me every time we've prayed it since the beginning of this program, you have prayed that prayer over 1,000 times in your life. You might say, well, Pastor, I didn't think that praying a prayer repetitiously did us any good. It doesn't. But what it means is that 1,000 times we prayed it again and meant it with all of our heart, and look at the change that God has brought into our lives. You just joined the kingdom of God. You just become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You just had Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, come and fill your being. That's that experience you're going through right now, going, whoa, something's going on the inside of my life. It is. God Almighty, through Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, is filling every part of your life. Well, when he comes in with all of him, all of sin and the devil, and fear and all of that stuff, it all has to leave, because your body, your being is now filled with God. Romans 8, chapter 4, verses. Romans 8, 9 through 17 says, it's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead that just filled you. And you are now an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You have now been made one into a relationship, and your greatest responsibility from now till Jesus comes in the rapture is to learn the voice of God our Father. You'll do that by getting you a Bible. I recommend the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It's a powerful Bible study tool. Nobody's doctrine in here, just many Bible study aids giving you verse reference after verse reference. You'll begin to read it, and you'll begin to hear the voice of God. It'll come in your ears. You'll see it with your eyes. It'll get down in your heart, and it'll transform your being. And just walk with God all day long. When you wake up in the morning, before you get out of bed, just say, Father, thank you that you live with me, and that this day you'll help me be absolutely everything I can be, in the mighty name of Jesus. And then click like, hit subscribe, and ring the bell. Doesn't cost a penny. We don't charge you. No. You get to be a part of us. And then every time we go live, it'll send you a notification that you send up. And you'll be able to study the Word of God with us. Now think about this. If you join a college class in the middle of the semester, you would be way behind everybody else, because you wouldn't have the foundation. But in the body of Christ, it doesn't matter where you join us, because the teacher, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives within you. So no matter what it is I'm teaching, God will make it relate to you where you are. In this session tonight, we have brand new believers, and we have people that have been around the kingdom for 50, 60, 70 years of life. I've been at, well, Phyllis, I guess you've probably been around for 80 years, right? Is that what you said? You've been in the church?
82.
Go ahead.
82 years.
82 years. 82 years. So in this time of ministry tonight, we've ministered to everybody. Those who just got born again, and we ministered by the Holy Spirit to someone who's been around the kingdom for 82 years. But that's not because of how smart I am. That is, as I come, or whoever, and minister the word of God, it will take every one of us where we are and take us to a new level in God Almighty. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Man, we got a good amen crew over here in Zoom tonight. How about, can I get an I love the word?
I love the word.
Me too.
Me three. Now, maybe you've not ever been around a gathering of believers that has as much fun as we have. But before the service started, we were saying, this is how we became the Jesus Bunch. The Jesus Bunch. Remember how the Brady Bunch was? Anyways, don't worry about it. It was fun for all of us. Let's receive our communion elements together. I think there's only been one time in my life. Well, there's three times in my life where I laughed so hard I fell out of my chair. One was with my dad the last time we were ever together at Thanksgiving. And my two brothers and I laughed with our dad rolling on the floor for about an hour and a half that night. And then there's been two times during communion right here on this program where the Holy Spirit showed up. And right during communion, we literally laughed for 20 minutes. So I want to encourage you tonight. If this is a little different than what you're used to, don't be alarmed. Look for the presence of God in this, and you'll find it. We don't interrupt God on purpose. But if God interrupts us, we just say, yes, sir. Have your way right here tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Get your elements out. Those of you that just prayed the prayer of salvation, you're in right standing with God. You can receive these elements together. You can get you some bread and water, bread and grape juice. Jesus said bread and wine or bread and grape juice. And I say regularly, Jesus turned the water into wine, so you could use water. But this is the point. These two elements represent the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. Jesus took the whole Passover feast, which lasted for 24 hours. Or 12 hours. It lasted for 12 hours. And put it into this communion service that we have right here. I know we're going longer than what you may have ever seen a communion service before. But this is our assignment. It's not everybody's assignment. This is ours. Rejoice with us. Pray this prayer. I bless and sanctify these elements. For this time of communion with you, Lord.
For this time of communion with you, Lord.
Jesus, you were wounded.
Jesus, you were wounded.
For my transgression.
For my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my
mind, my will, and my emotion. There's nothing missing, nothing broken.
There's nothing missing and nothing broken.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Every joint supplying in my body.
Because of your broken body, Jesus.
Because of your broken body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
in the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
Right here in this community of faith.
All the way around the world to our friends, Julian and Bamala. In Jesus' mighty name, let's receive his bread, broken body together. Thank you, Jesus, for your body that was broken, and you counted it all joy. Thank you, Lord. Now we lift up the cup of blessing, the blood of Jesus. Pray this prayer with me from the depths of your heart. Every one of these prayers are a verse of scripture about the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, I have been redeemed. By the blood of Jesus, I have reconciliation with my Father. By the blood of Jesus, every sin is placed in remission. And no longer has authority over my life. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. And I thank you for it, Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help for my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony, I overcome. By the blood of Jesus, every plague has to pass over my life. And there will not be one feeble one amongst us. My conscience is purged. My robes are made white. And I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive his bloodshed. The blood of Jesus. Ready? Let's sing this song. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Now that's my dad's most favorite song. And like we've said so many times in the old church, I sing it tonight in honor of my dad. Well, it always makes me think of my dad, but really I sing it in honor of what Jesus did. Before we were ever even born and sinned, Jesus gave his life for you and me. Thank you, Lord. Closing verses, Sister Phyllis.
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm honored to do so. June 20 through 25. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And Revelation 1, 5 and 6, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And amen. Lift your hands up with me and let's draw on the net. Say this with me. We claim every person who heard this word. To come to Jesus tonight. I receive my hundredfold return. Because I willingly gave of my life tonight. To make this program happen. Like it did.
To make this program happen
like it did.
In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now my last verse is this. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon you tonight, God will speak to you in a dream and a vision and seal your instruction within you, turning you from the pit, keeping you from the pride, and causing you to be able to understand what you never understood before. Why? Because the language of the Spirit in the end times is dreams and visions. According to Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, he said, I will give your young men will see dreams and your old men will see visions. On my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, in Jesus' mighty name. And I just wrote down what it was that I dreamed and woke up saying, what did I dream? And God just gave it to me right here during this program, what it was I dreamed. And oh my goodness, what an answer this is. And I thoroughly expect it to happen to you. It's what we say until we see you again. Remember, we'll be here tomorrow morning for prayer. That is the time when we're standing in the gap for the United States of America, rebuilding the walls of righteousness right here in this great nation. One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we say. Remember this, we love you.
We love you.
And God,
loves you.
And Jesus is
Lord.
See you soon. Bless you, Brother Roger, Sister Sunday. We're going to talk a little bit more over here on Zoom, so if you want to come over and be with us, you can. We welcome you in Jesus' mighty name. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Log Talk Radio, all of our friends around the world, we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. In Jesus' name.